This is the weekly message from Restoration Church in Odessa, Texas. If you would like to know more about our church, visit us online at www.restoreodessa.com. There you can also give financially to support the ministry. Now, here's this week's message.
It's great to see you in the house, Lord. I'm so thankful that you are here with us today. We are in week two of our series XO. And we're going to be talking about love, relationships, and the church. And so, as we discussed last week, we know that love is a powerful word, isn't it? In Mark, Jesus echoes what would have been a familiar Old Testament passage found in Deuteronomy. He says, and the scripture says, that we are to love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. So Jesus takes that word love beyond just a word and carries it to action. Not only does it take action on our part to love, but it also takes action to love our neighbor, right? It's not just about loving God, it's loving our neighbor as well. Now this morning, we're going to take a look at what it means to have a godly friendship. You know, we use this term love, you know, so most of the time it's related to loving God or loving a spouse. But really, love encompasses a lot of things. You know, another term that we can use for loving our friends is covenant friendship. And so that's the title of the message this morning. You know, we live in a world where the word friend has become stretched so thin that it barely means anything anymore. Kind of like the word love, right? In a day and time when we have social media friends. You know, I looked the other day and I think I had around 1,200 friends on Facebook. I didn't think to check Instagram or anything like that. But each of the people on those platforms, culture has deemed my friend. You know, with this type of language in our world, it can be easy to forget what real friendship actually is. You see, the reality of it is that we have friends that we've never met. You know, when I became the lead pastor here at Restoration Church, I had friends coming out of the woodwork. You know, they were all adding me on Facebook, you know, wanting to be my friend, and come to find out they were evangelists and missionaries, and all they were just wanting to get connected to the church is what they were wanting. They wanted to be my friend. So some of them I've never met. Friends who like our posts, you know, maybe even the ones that you know, but they don't know our pain. A lot of time on social media, we put the highlight reel, you know, the good things that happen. They don't see our pain and share our pain. You know, friends who show up for the good moments, but aren't around when it gets heavy. You know, we are more connected than any other generation in history. And yet so many people feel more lonely than ever. According to a recent study by the American Psychiatric Association, approximately one in three adults, that's around 33%. If you really want to get technical, it's 33.333333333% of people say that they experience regular loneliness. That number climbs significantly to upwards of 50% of people that say they experience sporadic loneliness. You know, I think a lot of that has to do with the fact that we don't know what a friend really looks like. Many of us have friends that are more like acquaintances. You know, these types of relationships that are built on convenience and not necessarily commitment. You know, we bond over hobbies or we connect over humor and personality, but we don't walk through the hard stuff together. This morning, we are going to look at a friendship that is different. A friendship that is built on love. But before we go on, I want to remind us that the word love doesn't just mean the mushy-mushy stuff. You know, love is not just reserved for romance or for God, but it talks about friendship, about loyalty. And it talks about people who choose one another on purpose. In 1 Samuel, we are introduced to one of the most powerful friendships we find in Scripture. It is a faithful friendship, and we are going to pull from today. You know, before David ever became king, and before King Saul became jealous of David, and everything became complicated, God knit the hearts of David and Jonathan together. And I want you to think for just a moment about the difference between fans and friends. Fans cheer on when you're winning, but friends stay when you're struggling. Fans celebrate your success, but friends aren't afraid to tell you the truth when success starts to change you. Fans love the version of you that benefits them. Friends love you enough to walk with you when it costs them something. See, David had plenty of friends. You know, in this passage of Scripture, women were singing his praises. Soldiers were admiring his courage. And crowds were celebrating the victories that he had won in battle. But when Saul turns against him, when the applause faded and there was suddenly a danger involved, and everyone disappears except one person, and that's Jonathan. Jonathan wasn't drawn to David because of what he could get from him. In fact, being close to David would eventually cost him something. It would actually cost him everything, his position, his reputation, and even his life. And yet Scripture says their souls were knit together. Why? Because true friendship isn't about what you gain. It's about what you're willing to give. And this is where our culture struggles. We're great at friendships that are built on fun. We're good at friendships built on a common ground, but biblical friendship calls us to something deeper. It calls us to loyalty and sacrifice and honesty. So as we look at this friendship between David and Jonathan, we're going to see that true friendship requires much more than fun times and common interest. It requires a covenant love. So let's start in 1 Samuel chapter 18. We're going to read verses 1 through 5 together this morning. 1 Samuel 18, starting in verses 1 through 5 today. And it'll be on the screen if you don't have it in your Bible this morning. Well, it's in your Bible, but if you aren't quick enough to turn there as I start reading. But it says this, as soon as he had finished speaking to Saul, the soul of Jonathan was knit to the soul of David. And Jonathan loved him as his own soul. And Saul took him that day and would not let him return to his father's house. Then Jonathan made a covenant with David because he loved him as his own soul. And Jonathan stripped himself of the robe that was on him and gave it to David and his armor and even his sword and his bow and his belt. And David went out and was successful wherever Saul sent him, so that Saul set him over the men of war. And this was good in the sight of all the people, and also in the sight of Saul's servants. The first thing I want us to notice is that true friendship begins with a shared heart. See, our passage states that Jonathan was knit to the soul of David. Their true friendship began with a shared heart. It wasn't a casual statement. The author was not saying, yeah, they get along, right? Or they have a lot in common. You know, I remember a few times when Rebecca was growing up that we would ask her who someone was. You know, we'd be on the playground or at the park or something like that. And she would say, oh, that's my friend. And so then we would, you know, try to ask more questions like, well, what's their name? To which she would respond, I don't know. Well, what do they like? I don't know. Well, boiling it down, to her, they became a friend because they played together on the playground. But here in our passage, God was doing something different than that. It's true that some friendships start because you sit next to each other or play on the playground. Some start because your kids play on the same team. Some start because you work together or laugh at the same jokes. But every once in a while, God brings someone into your life that you just know that this isn't random. This is my person. When I see that word knit, it tells me that this was something that was by design. A this friendship was intentionally designed by God. For us, being in ministry, we have friends from all ends of the spectrum. People who have a relationship with God, all the way to other ministers, and then people that don't have relationships with God. They are all great and they are all important. But along our path, there have been some friends that we knew were brought by God. You know, for me, the minute I stepped into ministry, Pastor Todd over at First Assembly here in town became one of those friends to me. Our lives were knit together. Yes, he served as a mentor for me and we did a lot of ministry together, but he is also the one that can be real with me and honest with me even when I don't want to hear it. Honestly, if it wasn't for God doing it, I don't know that we would have been friends. And I don't say that in a bad way, but I'm not interested in the same things he's interested in. I don't hunt. I don't fish. Those are two top things that he loves to do. And so you get the idea. But that friendship wasn't because of liked interest, but it was knit together by God for a purpose. Another one for me is one I consider one of my best friends. His name is Justin. And he just entered the best decade of his life. He turned 40 on Friday. Hallelujah. Welcome to the 40s. We grew up in the same town. We were in a high school band together. And all of these things, even though, you know, it wasn't a very big town, so everybody knew everybody in school pretty much. But yet, we weren't friends then. We didn't hang out together. You know, he even attended Dumas First Assembly when I started attending and gave my life to the Lord. Yet, we still weren't friends. I mean, we knew each other. We were acquaintances. But eventually, I went into ministry and then, you know, a few years later, he actually took a youth pastor position there at the church in Dumas. And one day he felt a call, you know, that felt that call to ministry. And it was like something switched in our type of relationship. We went from acquaintances to friends. I don't even remember exactly how it happened, to be honest with you. But I was home for something and it was like one of these Jonathan and David moments. Our hearts were knit together. And we have walked through some heavy, heavy life moments since that time. You know, I hate it now because they live in Oklahoma now, and so we're like 7.5 hours away from them, and it's just a different type of friendship now. We're still great friends. You know, in fact, Rebecca calls him Uncle Justin. You know, it's one of those type of friends. This type of love, this type of friendship is needed in our lives. Ecclesiastes 4, verses 9 and 10 tell us that two are better than one because they have a good reward for their toil. For if they fall, one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him who is alone when he falls and has not another to lift him up. You know, that one that can pick you up when you fall, that one that walks with you every step, no matter what is happening. It's that one that can be the most unlikely of persons. One thing that you will notice is that shared values matter more than shared preferences. You know, Jonathan was royalty. According to his father Saul, he was the next in line to be king. Even though David had been anointed by God for that position, David was a shepherd boy. Different worlds and different futures. And they shared the same core value. However, they believed in obedience and faithfulness to God. And it wasn't a happy accident that this happened, this divine connection happened. You know, Amos poses us a question. It says, do two walk together unless they have agreed to do so? In Amos 3:3. The answer, of course, is no. True friendship is sustained not by what you enjoy. You know, when friendships are built on preferences, they fade when seasons change. You know, they fracture under pressure. When they're built on shared devotion to God, however, they endure hardship and they sharpen faith. You've probably heard the phrase before, show me your friends and I will show you your future. I guarantee you, it's the truth. Proverbs 13:20 tells us, whoever walks with the wise becomes wise. But the companion of fools will suffer harm. So you can't tell me that our friendships don't matter. That they don't influence who we are. Who you walk with and who you knit yourself together with matters. Your closest friendships should reinforce your faith, not detract from it. Covenant friendships should call you higher and not lower. They should strengthen your walk rather than compromise it, because it's a shared heart between each other and with God. The second thing I want you to notice is true friendship is proven through sacrifice. True friendship is proven through sacrifice. You know, what happens next in this narrative may have been shocking for those who are watching. In 1 Samuel 18, verses 3 and 4, it tells us that then Jonathan made a covenant with David and he loved him as his own soul. But here's what's the shocking part. And Jonathan stripped himself of the robe that was on him and gave it to David, and his armor, and even his sword and his bow and his belt. You know, this wasn't just a gift. You know, these things, these symbols, the robe and the sword and the bow and the belt, these were all symbols of Jonathan's identity. They were all symbols of the royalty that he had. The authority and the position and the eventual future that typically he would have had. So Jonathan was essentially saying, I am willing to lay down what's rightfully mine for what God is doing in you. This wasn't an emotional response, but a moment of sacrifice on the part of Jonathan. Sacrifice is the language of covenant love and friendship. You see that in friendships, and you'll see that in marriages. You know, rather than defining love and friendship by shared enjoyment, the Bible takes a different approach. It defines friendship by what we are willing to lay down. John 15, 13 tells us this. It says, greater love has no man than this, or no one than this, that someone laid down his life for his friends. And this is sometimes a hard truth that we have to grasp. Love that never costs you anything isn't covenant love. It's convenience. Jonathan's sacrifice wasn't required, and David didn't ask for it. But yet Jonathan chose to lay down his rights, his authority, his royalty for David, because he knew that God had anointed him for something more. This is how you know it was love. Jonathan was willing to choose God's will over his personal gain. He could have easily kept the robe, kept the sword, went to battle against David at some point for the kingship. But yet that's not what happened. He knew the truth long before Saul had admitted it, that David was God's chosen king. However, this meant something else for Dave or for Jonathan as well. This meant that he had to oppose his father. Yet Jonathan didn't hesitate. In Philippians, Paul is speaking to the church in Philippi to show humility like Christ. And he says something that might be familiar. Philippians 2, verse 4 says, let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. You know, theologians agree that Paul was pointing out that there are times when we need to look out for the greater good. That's exactly what Jonathan was doing. He was being obedient to what he knew God was doing. Instead of trying to preserve what would have been naturally his, he stepped out in an act of love, and he stepped aside so that God's plan could move forward. Jonathan's actions would have looked foolish to anyone else. Could you imagine looking at a future king and seeing him lay down his royalty? That wouldn't have made sense. You would have thought the man was crazy. I mean, even to Saul, his father, it looked disloyal. But one thing about covenant love is that it doesn't seek approval. And it's often willing to be misunderstood. But see, Jonathan's sacrifice points us forward over into the New Testament to Jesus. See, Jonathan laid down his robe, and Jesus laid down his glory. Jonathan surrendered his future. Jesus surrendered his life. Every act of covenant friendship is an echo of the gospel. Later on in Philippians 2, where we just read, it says this. He says, having the mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. That covenant love that we have between us and Christ even shows us a sacrifice that was made. So when we talk about our friendships, we love sacrificially because we have been loved sacrificially. When we were far from God, he loved us so much that he was willing to be sacrificed for us. What a beautiful picture of love this morning. But see, it's not just about having a shared heart. It's not about sacrificing, but also true friendship stands under pressure. True friendship stands under pressure. Now that we've established the love and friendship between David and Jonathan, we see it put to the test. Jumping over to 1 Samuel chapter 20, just two chapters over, a couple of years have passed, and we established that anyone can be friends when it's easy, right? But when the pressure is turned up, it reveals what comfort hides. It exposes the cost of loyalty. For time's sake, we're not going to read all of the 42 verses in chapter 20. Can I get an amen? But I encourage you, when you have time, to read it. But in chapter 20, Jonathan is caught in the middle. On the one side was David, his friend, his covenant friend. And on the other side was his father Saul, his own flesh and blood, and his king. And Jonathan takes a stand. And with taking that stand would mean that it would go against his father. There was no neutral ground to be found. He was either with the kingdom and his dad, or he was with David, his covenant friend. There was no neutral ground. Proverbs 17:17 says this. He said, a friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. This pressure that Jonathan is feeling forces a decision. You see, his loyalty could no longer be theoretical. It had to become visible. And he, in turn, risks the relationship he has with Saul. But Jonathan doesn't have the luxury of quietly supporting David in this moment. It was a public ordeal. David, fearing for his life, seeks refuge with Jonathan. Jonathan, believing David was innocent, vows to protect him and devises a plan to determine Saul's intentions, because Saul was after David. At this point, he had found out that he was anointed as the next king, and he was like, Saul wasn't having it. And so he was going to kill him. During the new moon feast, Jonathan observes Saul's anger towards David's absence at the table. And if you read the whole story, that's what confirmed that Saul was indeed going to kill David. And he speaks truth to Saul, Jonathan does. And he challenges the injustice, and he protects David at great personal risk. And Saul responds with rage. Let's take a look. 1 Samuel 20, verses 30 through 33. It says this. Then Saul's anger was kindled against Jonathan, and he said to him, you son of a perverse, rebellious woman. It's a nice thing to say to your son, isn't it? Do I not know that you have chosen the son of Jesse to your own shame and to the shame of your mother's nakedness? For as long as the son of Jesse lives on the earth, neither you nor your kingdom shall be established. Therefore, send and bring him to me, for he shall surely die. Well, this answered Jonathan's question on whether Saul really did intend to kill David. Let's read on, verse 32. Then Jonathan answered Saul, his father, "Why should he be put to death? What has he done?" You know, imagine this as like a teenager talking to their, which I'm sure Jonathan was actually much older than that at this point, but that's kind of what I'm seeing is like, "What do you know, Saul?" Anybody ever had your kids do that to you? Anyway, maybe it was just me. I don't know. But what has he done? But Saul hurled his spear at him to strike him. He didn't like what Jonathan had to say. So Jonathan knew that his father was determined to put David to death. You know, I wonder if anyone else has family dinners like this. I can honestly say I've never thrown a spear at my daughter. This was quite a heated exchange, wasn't it? But yet it was the cost of the love that Jonathan had for David. True friendship doesn't stay silent to keep the peace. It speaks truth to preserve what is right. Jonathan knew what God had appointed. His courage spoke to more than the friendship. He showed that he also walked in the fear of the Lord. Which if you recall from a few weeks ago, the Bible tells us that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of what? Wisdom. Jonathan knew that what he was doing was costly. He couldn't defend Saul's sin anymore, even though Saul was his father. And he couldn't pretend that injustice was acceptable. You know, there may become a time in your friendships that you must walk in the same posture. No relationship is ever an excuse for compromise. If a relationship pulls you away from obedience, it's no longer godly. Jonathan, for the sake and love of his friend, ran toward God and away from Saul. When Saul's anger exploded, Jonathan didn't back down. And he doesn't distance himself from David either to save his own image. He doesn't choose safety over faithfulness. He stays. That's the mark of a true friend. Proverbs 18:24 tells us, "A man of many companions may come to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother." You know, you can have all these 1,200 friends on social media surrounding you, but who's going to stand with you when Saul throws the spear at you at the dinner table? Who's going to stand with you when people are against or after your friends? This is what friendship looks like, a covenant friendship looks like. I mean, this is straight up, right? You can have many friends, but you want the one who sticks by your side no matter what. You want a Jonathan. Some people leave when life gets hard, but covenant friends, they lean into that hardship and walk with you side by side. It's that bear one another burdens that is talked about in Galatians chapter 6. It reflects the character of God. A promise in Scripture tells us that the Lord will never leave us nor forsake us, right? This is what is reflected in friendships like this. Jonathan couldn't save David forever, but he could stand with him when it mattered most. David and Jonathan stood firm under pressure. You know, a few months ago, we did a whole series about David, and we saw that numerous times he stood strong in his adult life. They spoke truth. They stayed loyal. But there's something else that we see in our passage that needs to be addressed, that obedience to God doesn't always mean staying together. Sometimes it means trusting God enough to let go. Not every goodbye is a betrayal or a failure. Some partings are just the cost of calling. And the question becomes, what does covenant love look like when the road splits? This is where friendship proves its depth. Not in how tightly it holds on, but how faithfully it releases. Which brings us to our final truth this morning. The true friendship is marked by faithful love to the end. See, Jonathan now had to relay the message to David that Saul was in fact trying to kill him. And they had devised a plan to pass on the message without David having to reveal himself. Jonathan would shoot some arrows and send a boy to fetch them. And if he said, "Are the arrows not beyond you?" to this boy, David would know that he was right all along and Saul was after him. Let's pick up with the story. Verse 35 of 1 Samuel 20. It says, "In the morning, Jonathan went out to the field to the appointment with David, and with him a little boy. And he said to the boy, 'Run and find the arrows that I shoot.' As the boy ran, he shot an arrow beyond him. And when the boy came to the place of the arrow that Jonathan had shot, Jonathan called after the boy and said, 'Is not the arrow beyond you?' And Jonathan called after the boy, 'Hurry, be quick, do not stay.' So Jonathan's boy gathered up the arrows and came to his master. But the boy knew nothing. Only Jonathan and David knew the matter. And Jonathan gave his weapons to his boy and said to him, 'Go and carry them to the city.' And as soon as the boy had gone, David rose from beside the stone, heap, and fell on his face to the ground and bowed three times. And they kissed one another and wept with one another, David weeping the most." After all the courage, after all the risk and the sacrifice, now it comes time for this friendship to separate in a goodbye. You know, David and Jonathan don't part because they stop loving each other. They part because obedience to God sometimes leads people in different directions. And Scripture doesn't rush past this moment. You'll notice that it said, "And they kissed one another and wept with one another, David weeping the most." Now, there are many that try to pervert this moment between Jonathan and David, trying to say that it proves that they were in some type of relationship. However, if you understand the culture and customs of the time they lived in, you would understand that this was a customary greeting and sending between friends. In fact, many European countries still greet and leave friends in this manner. They'll kiss each other on the cheek or on both cheeks. And so it was something that was normal for that time and that custom. But what we see here are two friends that are saying goodbye, and they're weeping. I remember when Jeanette and I were saying our goodbyes to come to Odessa. You know, after 14 years in the same place, we had formed some covenant bonds with many of the church family there at Amarillo and even the pastors that we served with. Now, they didn't send us off with a kiss, thankfully. That's not our culture. There's only one person outside of my family that's ever done that to me, and that was Brother Trask, who was our general superintendent back in the day. That's what he does. He would kiss you on one cheek and slap you on the other. And he's the only man that could get away with it because he signed my credential card. But in my final message to the church, in our final Sunday there, there were a lot of tears that were shed. I'm not really sure if they understand a word I said. I think I cried through that whole message. And it was heavy, sorrowful tears. And we loved our church family. This wasn't a weak moment on our part or on the occasion of Jonathan and David that we're looking at this morning. But what had happened is we had formed covenant friends, but we knew that the Lord was saying it was time to go. Just like here with Jonathan and David, David knew that he had to go, that him and Jonathan had to part ways. This is love that knows the cost. This covenant relationship made room for grief. It didn't pretend that separation didn't hurt. David and Jonathan allow themselves to feel the weight of the moment. They cried, they lingered, they acknowledged the loss that was coming. You know, Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 4 tells us that there is a time to weep and a time to laugh. So there's nothing about this that was unusual. And if you've ever had to say goodbye to someone you love because of a calling or a season or going in different directions because of obedience, you understand this. The weight of that comes with it. But as with any act of love, you must entrust the future to God. Jonathan doesn't cling to David. Instead, he releases him with a blessing. Verse 42 says that, "Then Jonathan said to David, 'Go in peace, because we have sworn both of us in the name of the Lord, saying, The Lord shall be between me and you, and between my offspring and your offspring forever.' And he rose and departed, and Jonathan went into the city." That phrase, "in the name of the Lord," matters. Their bond wasn't dependent on proximity, their closeness to each other. It was anchored in God's faithfulness. Covenant friendship knows when to hold on and when to let go. Faithful love reflects the heart of Christ. You know, this goodbye echoes a greater story of Jesus as we look forward into the New Testament. Jesus loved his disciples to the end, and he released them into their calling and entrusted them to the Father. It says in John chapter 13, verse 1, it says, "Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end." Even when we have to say goodbye face to face, it doesn't mean that you cannot still be there for a friend. Even though Jesus would soon be leaving them in person, we can look over in Matthew 28 and it tells us that, "I am with you always." He had said that to his disciples. True friendship isn't proven by how it begins, it's proven by how it ends. With honor, with peace, with trust in God. And sometimes the most loving thing you can say is not stay, but go in peace. As we wrap this up this morning, the friendship of David and Jonathan shows us that real love is not loud, but it's lasting. It begins with a shared heart, and it's proven through sacrifice, and it stands firm under pressure. And when the season ends, it releases with peace and trust in God. This kind of friendship doesn't happen by accident. It's formed by covenant love. Love that looks more like Christ than culture. And the truth is, we cannot love like this on our own. We need the love of God working in us before it can flow through us. Amen? I'm thankful for the love of God. And I'm thankful that because of that, of the friendships that have been entrusted in my life, those covenant friends, even the acquaintances, I'm thankful for them. But those covenant friends, the ones that are closer than a brother, the ones that will tell it like it is, the ones that will sacrifice for me and I for them, those friends make all the difference in the world. Every head bowed and every eye closed just for a moment, because we never want to have a time together without asking a simple question. You know, some of you are trying to love others, but maybe build relationships or even carry friendships without ever receiving the love of God for yourself. But Scripture tells us that true love can only come through the Lord. 1 John 4:19 tells us that we love because he first loved us. So I want to challenge you this morning, if you don't have a relationship with Jesus, or if you've drifted and you know your heart is not where it should be, this moment is for you. Jesus is the faithful friend who never walks away. He laid down his life so you could be restored to God. So if you're in this place this morning, if you need forgiveness, you need a fresh start, you want to experience the love, this covenant love that we've talked about this morning, if you're in this place today and that's you, would you just say, "Well, with the lifting of your hand, that's me." Is there anyone this morning? Amen. Is there anyone else that says that me? That's me. Amen. Now, for the rest of us, I just want to challenge you this morning. You know, we talked about a friendship that was based on more than just feelings, more than just emotion, more than just all of these things, more than just what culture calls a friend. And I want to challenge you this morning to be the type of friend that Jonathan was for David. Find those covenant friendships, those that are anchored in the Lord, where you can build each other up, encourage one another, walk through each other in the hard times and the good times. Be the type of friend that doesn't run when problems come, when trials come, when adversity come. Be the type of friend that isn't afraid to tell it like it is. When you see your friend drifting from God, be the type of friend that loves them so much that you care about their relationship with the Lord. Be a covenant friend. Amen? Stand with me all across this room this morning. I'm going to ask us to pray a prayer together. And if you said yes on the first question that I asked this morning, I want you, as we repeat this all together, all of us, to say that prayer this morning. And I'd love to talk with you after service just to give you some encouragement and maybe some next steps. But can we all just lift our voices together and pray this prayer? Jesus, I acknowledge that I am a sinner. And this morning, I ask for your forgiveness. Lord, let your blood wash over my sin. Make me whole. Make me clean. Wash me white as snow. And as I walk from this place today, keep me. Walk with me. Show me the way. Show me the path. Thank you, Jesus. Now, can we just lift our hands and just thank the Lord this morning for what he has done? Lord, we thank you, God, that you loved us so much, that you showed us what true friendship really is by sacrificing for us upon the cross. And Lord, I just ask, God, that as you minister in this place right now, God, that your grace and your mercy would flow in this room, that it would wash and make whole in the name of Jesus today. We thank you, Lord, that you give us such a beautiful example of what love looks like. And God, as we take this into our friendships, as we take this into the streets this morning, God, we just ask, God, that you would help us to be the type of friend, hallelujah, to be the type of friend that shows your love, to be the type of friend like Jonathan was to David. Let it not just be casual. Let it not just be just an acquaintance type of friendship, but let it be a friendship that is bonded together and knit together in love. And Lord, if there are some in this place this morning that don't have that type of friend, that covenant friendship, Lord, I pray that you would just bring people into their lives today. Lord, that you would knit them together with someone who loves you, and that they would carry their relationship and trust and faithfulness in you together. Lord, help us to walk side by side with our friends, to not run when it gets hard. And we give you praise. Go with us and go before us. May your face shine upon us. And help us to love our city with a love that is found in you. Help us to carry a hope that is only found in relationship with you, Jesus. And we thank you for it, Lord. And it's in your name that we pray this morning, in Jesus' mighty name. And everybody said, amen and amen. Hallelujah. God bless you. We love you this morning.